You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Last week, we kicked off a series called Old School. We went back to some biblical truths that we sometimes forget. And I feel like last week was a really good starting place for this week. And so I don't want to take up the time. Normally I do like a review, and I'll spend 35 minutes just on the review and give y'all one point. This week I'm gonna put it on y'all to go back and listen to the podcast and do it, because it's a really good foundational flow for this series. If you have your Bibles, turn me to 2 Kings chapter 5. If our worship was passionate, I can tell y'all now my preaching will be too. So just so you know, I don't want to scare nobody. So here we go. We're gonna read a little bit, but I want to give you guys a little bit of context before we read. But we are going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Last week we talked about keeping the old school aspect of our relationship with God as the primary foundation of our life. We said this, and I'll just kind of create a little bit of context, but I won't go all the way. We said that whether it is in the book of Genesis or it is in the book of Revelations, the whole subject throughout is Jesus. And if we're not careful, we'll have good sounding messages and we'll forget about the reason why we're reading God's word. The whole foundation, the whole purpose, the whole focus of God's word is Jesus. And we just said that what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to talk about God's word. We're going to build off of God's word into some of the old school biblical foundational truths that we sometimes forget about. But in order for us to build on the old school truths, we have to know the purpose and the importance of God's word. Are you with me? And so here's one thing that we said last week, and you'll find it on your notes. You should have some sermon notes inside of your worship guide. The old school truth that we focused on last week said this, that the word of God is alive and it is active. John chapter 6, verse 63 in your notes will say this. It says that the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Jesus says the spirit gives you life. The flesh that you and I walk in does nothing. He says, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Last week, we just defined the Bible basically as a book. That's literally what it means. It's a book. There's 66 of them. There's an Old Testament. There's a New Testament. But from Genesis all the way to Revelations, the subject is Jesus. You with me? The subject is Jesus. Jesus is all throughout the word. And so therefore, if we are going to study God's word, we have to keep the focus of our study trying to get closer and closer to Jesus. Y'all with me? You're going to have to roll with me today. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active. Y'all get that? So the word of God, if you got it on your device, if you got it in a physical book, it's active, it's alive, which means that the word of God can't just sit on your coffee table. The word of God, when put to use, is functioning. The reason why is because the subject is Jesus. And so since the subject is Jesus, Jesus has to be my focus when I am reading God's word. Now, we had some AKAs last week of God's word. The Bible is God's word. It's also scripture. It is also the word. Are you with me? John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was also in the beginning with God. So here it is, the word that we have today, the main subject is Jesus. So whenever I'm reading God's word, whenever I'm diving into God's word, I am looking at God's word going, Jesus, show me more about you. Got it? So this morning, we're going to focus on the active word of God, the active word of God. We just said it. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and is active, sharper than any double-edged sword, it says. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints, marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God, because it is live, It is alive and active. It can deal with your fleshly problems and your spiritual problems. It can deal with the health of your body and the health of your mind. So the Bible can literally deal with your soul and your spirit and your physical body. The reason why is because it's active, but the foundation and the subject is Jesus. So if Jesus is all throughout the word, that means that the word of God is not only alive, active, but it's also powerful. Are you here? Here's a note for you. Whether you apply the word of God or not, the word of God is active. It's up to you. Whether you apply the word of God or not, it's active. We see it all throughout scripture. When we read scripture, that whenever Jesus was in a place, so many times we'll hear this phrase, and the multitude or the crowd walked with Jesus, and then you'll see this, and there was a woman who said within herself, if I could just touch the hem of Jesus, I know I'll be made whole. So you could actually be in the crowd around Jesus and experience none of his power, only no great stories. So what does that tell me, Damon? That means that I can have the active living word of God living in my home, in my hand. I can be walking with the living word of God, which gives me access to Jesus, which allows me to know more about him, what he's promised me, and only the person that is really diving into the word to find out more about Jesus will experience what he promised. That's the reason why when we go to grandma and grandpa's house, we blow on their Bible. Y'all know the one that sits on the coffee table. The reason why is because it can become a great showpiece. I can say I'm a Christian. Literally, I can walk into church. I'm not blaming you guys, by the way, just so you know. I can literally walk into church with my Bible in my hand and never open it. Why? Because Pastor Damon put it on the screen. So what does that do? That means that it's on Pastor Damon to feed me the word versus me be intentive. Because maybe God will speak something different during service than what Pastor Damon said, because I'm trying to hear what Jesus wants to say to me through his word. Y'all with me? I'm revving up just so. Revving up. Write this down under that note I just gave you. Remember we said whether you apply the word of God or not, the word of God is active. Doesn't depend on you. What depends on you is whether you're going to believe it or not. So here, knowing that, I have to choose and live a life built on God's word. So it can't be an accessory to me coming to church. Oh, I forgot my Bible. No, it's not an accessory. It's not an accessory. This has to be a part of me. It has to be a part of me. Whenever I'm going somewhere, I have to keep it with me. I have to choose. Notice I said choose. You have to go back to last week's sermon, because we talked about in the beginning, God created man. And he put two trees in the garden. And he says, hey, you got this tree of life. You got this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you get to walk with me every single day face to face. You my homeboy. You my homegirl. He said, the only thing that I don't want you to do is don't choose this tree right here. I want you to just focus on the tree of life. But Adam and Eve, they decided that they wanted to be a little curious, so they ate from the tree. Y'all heard that story, right? Why? Because God had given them the choice. The reason why he gave them a choice, because he says, everything that I've given you, I want you to realize that what I've given you, no one else has the ability to give you. The ability to stay this close to me is just a gift if you realize it. And they just decided, I want to try the apple. I said this last week, and I'll say it to you again. The reason why we get a distant relationship with God is because of our curiosity. Our curiosity creates the separation. I wonder if I can figure this out. You know how it is when we react versus going to him first. So much time our curiosity creates the separation. So you and I have to choose and live a life built on God's word. Matthew 7:24 says this in the Message Bible. It says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. If you let God's word, if you let Jesus in you, around you, be the foundation of your life, the life that you desire, you will see. Are you with me? So the foundation of God's word, it cannot be an accessory. It has to be the foundation of our life. Are you here? So now go to 2 Kings chapter 5. So building upon whether I apply God's word or not, God's word is active. Knowing that I choose to live a life built on God's word, let's see what happens when we jump into God's word. Let's see the response. Let's see if my life changes, if I build my life on God's word, or if I devalue God's word. Let's see the comparison. Are you with me? Here it is. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to read. I might pause, stop in a little bit. But this is the story of Naaman. All right? This is the story of Naaman in 2 Kings. It says this. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master, Naaman, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothes. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends me a man to heal of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Now watch now. Let's pause right there. Back in biblical days, the prophet were the ones that heard from God, spoke what God said, and received the results of what God said. Are you with me? So they spoke what God said, they received what they heard, and they received the results of what God said. So when Naaman has this leprosy and Elisha says, "Bring him to me, I'm going to let him know that there is a prophet in the land." What he's saying is I'm going to let him know that there is a tangible voice and power of God living in Israel. Are you with me? I'm going to tie it into the word of God. Verse 9. Then Naaman went to with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, Naaman, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will come out to me and sit and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over me, and I will be healed of leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So Naaman turned away in rage, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had asked you to do a great thing, you would have done it. How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean?" The simplicity of that. So he went down, dipped 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all of his aides, and they came and they stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please let me give you a gift. The man of God said, no, don't. Verse 17 goes on and says something like this. Naaman says, now listen, your God's going to be my God, but I'm going to work in a secular environment. He says, when my king goes to bow down to his gods and he has to lean on me and by accident I bow down, please know that that's not my heart intent because I've given my heart to God based on the result of what you've just told me to do. He says, please don't blame me. The prophet says, it's okay. Don't worry. Your life has already been changed. Let's go through the story. Let's get you out of here. Naaman, Syria. Naaman has leprosy. Naaman has an encounter with a young girl that works for him. She has an encounter already with God. She says, listen, the God that I've seen do miracles can do a miracle for you. So she tells Naaman, she says, listen, if you can get yourself over to Elisha, I feel like God will change your life too. Elijah goes, and Elijah has in his mind how his encounter with the prophet of God is going to take place. He has it in his mind how he wants it to play out. So he gets to the door and he says, tell the prophet I'm here. And the prophet says, send a message down to him. Go wash yourself in the Jordan. You're healed. Pause. How many times do you and I go to God with the plan already done, already written out, already worked out? We get to God's door, we get to his presence, and we get mad because the result or the thing that he speaks back to us, we say we don't want it. That's part of the reason why when we get to God's word, the value part goes higher. It's because, does he really need to say that to me? I don't know if I believe that. Why should I believe that? That doesn't apply to me. You know how it is. We find our chapter in the Bible. We don't want to go and witness to our neighbor. I feel uncomfortable. That doesn't really apply to me. Jesus will send an angel. I don't need to witness to you, Naaman. You're a hard person to witness to. I really don't even like you. In fact, you're going to hell, and I don't really care. But you know what? I'm not going to witness to you because you got to find Jesus by yourself because that's what happened to me. And so therefore, there's some things that apply to me in the word. That's why I'm blessed and highly favored while you're going to hell. That's the thing. Naaman, I don't really pay attention to this part of the word of God because it doesn't apply to me because I already got the plan written for my life. Did y'all get all of that? What about when God says, give me, and I say this over and over again, God says, give me the first of your finances. Oh, ho, 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 I love Jesus. I love Jesus, but oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 that doesn't apply to me. You know why? Because he knows my needs. Why would he ask me to give him 10% when he knows I'm barely making it? I've been there. That was me, just so y'all know. Why would he ask that of me? You know what? He ain't talking to me. Either the word of God is alive and active or it's not. Naaman's like, let's go. Hey, here's what I want you to do for me. How many times do we do that? Here's what I want you to do for me. Okay. Yeah, I came all this way. I brought him an offering to give. I got cattle. I got thousands of dollars with me. Huh? He ain't coming. What do you mean he ain't coming? I came all this way. He ain't coming. What do you mean he ain't coming? And then he gonna ask me to dip in the Jordan. Y'all, we were in Israel. Let me tell you why he complained about the Jordan. Honestly, it is not glamorous. It is filthy and it is dirty. Here's what Naaman was saying. Naaman was saying, where I currently live, I'm not going back and doing the old school stuff. Why would I dip in the Jordan River when my life right now is rolling in clear water? You trying to get me in tap water. I drink Perrier. Fuji is my bottle. That's basically what he's saying. He's like, what? Why would you demean someone who is written in status to dip in such dirty water? Y'all, it is filthy. We were baptized in it. And honestly, the portion that we were in, like, you can see the bottom barely. Some other people got baptized in the Jordan River, and it was dirty, like straight just dirt. So when he's saying, I don't want to be baptized, and what he's saying is, you're going to have me do something that seems below me. I got this thing planned out. What I wanted you to do was wave your hand. Because in my mind, I feel like you're a genie. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to knock on your door, and you're going to say, be healed. So what I want is I want just the walk past. And this is what he said. Because then that's how I would have known about your God. See, if you heal me, I ain't got to give some of me to you. I ain't got to push to the end result of what God wants, which is a relationship with me. No. You give me mine, then I can keep my distance with your God. Y'all all right? So go and dip, man. Go and dip. I'm not going. Finally, his servants go, hey, listen, if he would have asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. All of us do this. Back to giving. Man, if I had $1 million, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I would buy a school. Give me 10%. No, I ain't giving you my 10%. But look, after I get this job promotion, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send some kids to college. Give me your 10%. No, I ain't doing it. If he would have asked you a hard thing, you would have done it. But since he said the simple thing that is outside of your plan, you don't want to listen to his word. Remember, the girl said, you're going to go to back to Israel, and there will be a prophet there, or in Samaria, there's a prophet there who will speak God's word. Remember, the foundation of everything is God's word. He hears God's word and then decides he doesn't want God's word. How many times do we hear God's word and then we say, we don't want God's word? Why? Because God's word is higher, the Bible says, than what you're thinking. You haven't even thought the thoughts that he's thinking. Ephesians. So the things that you're thinking about, the plan that you have, are not at his level right now. Y'all okay? So if my thoughts are not his thoughts or higher than his thoughts, wouldn't it be better for me to allow the creator of the universe to speak clearly and me to trust him? So his soldier said, will you please do what the man asked you to do? Which leads me to the first point. After I realize that I have to choose or live a life of God, the first thing is I have to accept its authority. The word of God is authority. If God spoke it, it's authority. That's the reason why we preach about Jesus. That's the reason why you will have 50 scriptures on your notes, is because this is authority. And if it becomes the foundation of my life, then when the enemy blows and he throws punches against me, the thing that will come out of me is the word of God. I must accept the authority. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, watch now, not as the word of men, but actually as it is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. The word of God is active, but you have to accept its authority. You have to accept that the word of God is here for you because it is alive and active. Last week we said that the word of God, it will sharpen you, correct you, rebuke you, train you, for you to be able to walk righteously with God for the work that God's called you to do. But you and I have to accept its authority. Are you here? Here, write this down. Write this down. If I have to accept its authority, then I must, this is a big time word right here, assimilate its truth. I have to assimilate its truth. I have to allow God's word to be woven into my life. I can't live on the outside of it. It has to become a part of me. I have to kind of like almost sew it into the fabric of my life. It has to be relatable now to who I am. I can't just accept its truth. Now I have to assimilate it. I have to apply. I have to make it my own. I have to make sure that every part of who I become involves God's word. I have to assimilate God's truth. Here it is. The first thing is by listening to God's word. So I accept its authority. I must assimilate its truth. And the first way that I do that is by listening to God's word. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's on your notes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I looked up the word faith, and so many times when you hear people say, we came to faith, a politician will say, oh, I have great faith. And so you hear the word of faith sometimes, the word faith sometimes, and sometimes we will just relate the word faith to believing in what I want God to do in my life. I've got faith for that. Well, the word faith there means actually that you are allowing God to be the ruler of your life. And he is in your core beliefs that person, which means that your foundation of who you are putting all of your trust in rests in God. That's what that means. So then faith, your focus relationship on who he is, faith, your foundation that God is the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ is his son, that's your foundation. You got it? So then my foundation of Jesus being my everything comes by hearing. Hearing is what you know. Hearing. The ability to hear. The ability to hear. That's what that means. But when you go a little bit deeper, it means instruction. It means word of God. So then my faith, which is the foundation of Jesus, comes from knowing that when Jesus said something, he means it. And then, watch now, hearing comes from the word of God. What a crazy scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All around me, when God is speaking, my faith grows, my foundation grows. Everything that happens about me, in me, around me happens because the word of God is constantly in my ear. Constantly in my circle. My faith is founded on God's word. My faith is founded on God. When I listen, I hear about Jesus. I'm focused on Jesus, and every aspect of my life is consumed by him. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Every aspect of your life should involve Jesus. Write this down. Second way is by reading God's word. Reading God's word. Matthew 4:4 says this, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Third thing, the way I assimilate its truth is by exploring God's word. Psalms 119, verse 11 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The author of Psalms 119 says, the word of God has become so engrafted in my personality that when I am deciding and trying to make choices, I'm going to lean on what the word of God says. When there's a choice between what I have to make, I'm going to lean on what God says. Go back to 2 Kings. Let's pick up in the story again, and let's see if we can find these truths in the story. He says this, hey, I want to be healed. I go knock on his door. I have my own plan. I go to his door. He says, I'm not coming down to see you. I want you to go dip. He says, I am mad. I don't want nothing to do with what he said. I don't want the word of God. It's not the way I planned. Is not the thing that I was thinking about. I'm done. His friends say, why don't you listen to the word of God? Why don't you apply the word of God and let's see if the results happen in your life? So he decides after his friends say, you need to listen to the word of God. You've got to apply the word of God to your life. You've got to make it your own. He goes, and the Bible says that he goes into the place where he didn't think that he was going to go, but because he listened to God's word, even when it was a tough season for him, when he starts to dip, his body starts to change. Every time he dips, his faith is growing more and more in what God said. It seems contrary to what he wanted, but because he focused on the word of God and because he applied it, and because he accepted the authority of the word of God, every time he dipped, I dipped more than seven times, by the way. Every time he dipped, his body was changing. His faith was growing. I wonder if while he was dipping, he was still going, I cannot believe I'm doing this. But let me give it a shot. I came all this way. I tried it all on my own. And it took the encouragement of my friends to say, you better trust his word. Sometimes when you're trying to go rogue, you need to be around people who be like, hey, if God would ask you to do something hard, you would have done it. Trust his word. If you keep dipping, even in the tough season when God is stretching you, but you trust his word, I believe that your faith grows. And it's the fifth time, and it's the sixth time, and it's the seventh time. And by the seventh time, you're surprised that what God had told you really happened, because you had it planned out in your own mind, and you thought that it was going to be much more complicated. But when God said so, it was much more easier, because you went through the process, and you realized that in the tough season, when you didn't think you were going to make it, in the dirt, in the grind, in the place that you didn't think you wanted to be, you find out that God's word actually ends up being true. And you don't have a distant experience. You have a personal experience. See, you and I have to accept his authority. You have to apply its truth to your life. Listen to God's word. Say it over and over again. If I dip seven times, I'll be healed. If I dip seven times, I'll be healed. If I dip seven times, I'll be healed. I have to explore God's word. If I dip seven times, I'll be healed. The minute I'm healed, it changes my family. It changes my response now. Because when I accepted the authority of the word and I applied what he said to me, dip seven times. I feel like I'm doing aerobics, y'all. Thank you. Security, last week we already had this problem, lady. I'm just kidding. I know her. When I assimilate what he says to me, I go all in to God's word. I get what he said about me. But the other thing is that he no longer becomes your God. I've heard all your stories. The little girl told him, she said, hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, you have an encounter with him, he's going to change your life. He wanted her God when he arrived because of what she said. When he leaves, he goes, there is no other God like ours. He said, I'm going to go back changed. Your God is now mine. He goes, but I'm going back into a secular environment. And I just want you to know that sometimes they crud over there. They act crazy over there. And he goes, I just want you to know my heart is not going to stay here. And I'm just going to leave my heart here. My heart is going to travel with me into this environment. It's going to seem uncomfortable, but I want you to know my heart is going back to the authority of what you told me. My heart is going to constantly explore what you started in me. So I want you to know that even though I'm in this environment, I'm not changing. Can I tell you that when God does something for you, you got to go back. He did this for me. But you have in your mind that when you get back to that place where the enemy's going to tempt you and test you, that you won't fold. You won't say, you know what? I got mine. Let's go. No. I'm in it because he's been in the beginning, and I'm going to build my life on him. Final thing, and then I must apply and live out his principles. Naaman looks and he says to Elisha, he says, look, I'm in this thing now. I'm so glad that you healed my body. I'm so glad that I applied the word of God, but I want you to know that I'm living this out now. If the king leans on me, I just want you to know that my heart is not bowing. Because from this day forward, it wasn't just about my healing. I get it now. You wanted me to see that if I trust God's word, that I can have a relationship with him beyond just the healing. See, you and I, the Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, don't you merely listen to the word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Woo! it's all around me. The word of God is in me. Yeah. Watch what James says. He says, don't you merely listen to the word of God and deceive yourself as thinking that's enough. Do what it says. Don't you just hear preaching from every pastor and be like, I got mine. Yeah. Live it out. Because if you're just hearing all the time, you're deceiving yourselves. You feel like you got yours. Do what it says. You know, last week I gave you guys a memory verse. And that memory verse simply said, it says, hey, you study the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures lead you to me. When you're studying God's word this week, when you're grabbing hold of his promises, find Jesus in every single verse. Because the minute he becomes your foundation is the minute you and I say, I trust you. I accept your authority, Lord Jesus, in my life. I'm going to ingrain you into who I am. And I'm going to live out my life with you. The word of God has to be activated. Y'all can write that down. The word of God has to be activated. You can write these down and then we'll go over it a little bit later. Write this down. Faith activates the word. Faith activates the word. Revelation activates faith. So faith activates the word. Revelation activates faith. And meditation activates revelation. Faith activates the word. Revelation activates faith. And meditation activates revelation. One more time. Faith activates the word. Revelation activates faith. And meditation activates revelation. When you read this week, 2 Kings, I want to challenge you to read 2 Kings chapter 5. I want you to find his faith being activated and activating God's word. He had to dip. He had to go towards the water. Revelation of this is God's word to me. His friends encouraged him. And then the meditation activated the revelation. His friends just kept telling him, man, listen, you are here. God's speaking to you. Do what he says. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate. Sit in it, soak in it day and night, because if you do that, it'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. We need to activate God's word in our life. Are you with me?
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.